stand by while NCLA cuts through the noise to signal abuse of administrative power. This is Administrative Static with Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione.
Welcome back to Administrative Static. Mark Chenoweth, John Vecchione, and Janine Yunus with you. And hot off the presses, literally moments before the show started recording, the U.S. Supreme Court handed down a decision that was argued back on October 3rd of 2023 in Consumer Financial Protection Bureau v. Community Financial Services Association of America. And this case is the one that challenges the CFPB's method of funding and whether or not it's constitutional under the Appropriations Clause. Because the way that Congress did this, and by the way, remember, this was the Obama Congress. This was the Congress that came, the U.S. Senate that came in with Obama as election as president in 2008. This is the filibuster-proof 2009-2010 Senate high water mark. At no time in my lifetime has the Senate had more Democrats than it had in 2009 and 2010. It used that temporary 60, I think it mostly had 59, if I remember correctly. Might have temporarily had 60 when—
It had 60 when the Vermont senator flipped.
It was Specter. Yeah. It was Arlen Specter.
And so then it had 60 until Brown took over Kennedy's seat.
Gotcha. Okay. So this is one of those laws, the law creating the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that was passed out of that. It was the Elizabeth Warren brainchild, and they tried to set up this agency that would be completely insulated from congressional control. And so they did that by making its funding not come from Congress, but come from the Federal Reserve.
And presidential control.
Well, and presidential control initially, because it was made as an independent agency where the term of the director of CFPB was longer than a presidential term, and the person could only be removed neglect and abuse of office. I don't have
cause.
The exact terms, but for cause, yes, not at the president's will. Well, the Supreme Court already struck that down in Saleh Law, and. So this remaining question existed as to whether or not this method of funding that Congress had picked to insulate, and by the way, not just keep Congress from doing the annual appropriations that it does for every other federal agency, but also to insulate it from any sort of oversight or review by the appropriations committees of Congress, so that Congress can call the director of CFPB up in front of Congress, but it can't. It has no power to clip his wings, and so it's a really useless ability that has been left to Congress. And so the question for the Supreme Court was a simple one: is this constitutional or not? Does this violate the Appropriations Clause or not? And we're going to do something dangerous here, which is to talk about a case that we haven't had time to fully digest, John.
That's true. I've read very quickly the majority and briefly the concurrences and dissent, but real fast.
Yeah. And so what's your take?
Well, we think we're going to have disagreement. I've always thought this was the weakest attack on this CFPB. And Thomas was in the majority. It was 7-2.
Yeah.
Oh,
with only Alito and Gorsuch dissenting. And I thought the originalist approach going to how the English Parliament had clipped the king's wings, but had allowed this type of funding was very convincing to me. But what was most convincing to me was the portion where they went to the language of the Appropriations Act and back to Hamilton's Federalist Society, Federalist Papers, which is, and I just want to read it here, but the Constitution's text suggests that at least in some circumstances, Congress can make standing appropriations. The Constitution expressly provides that no appropriation of money to support an army shall be for longer term than 2 years. That's Article 1. Section 8, Clause 12. Hamilton explained that this restriction ensures that for the Army, Congress cannot vest in an executive department permanent funds, and that's a quote from the Federalist Papers, and must instead, quote, once at least every 2 years, deliberate upon the propriety of keeping a military force on foot, come to a new resolution on the point, and, quote again, declare their sense of the matter by formal vote in the face of their constituents. Federalist number 26, page 143. The framers were thus aware of the dynamic that the associations highlight, but they did not explicitly limit the duration of appropriations for other purposes.
Yeah, they didn't explicitly do that, but they did explicitly limit the term of Congress. And I think what this does is it allows one Congress to tie the hands of a future Congress on the exact question of appropriations. And the whole point of giving the appropriations power to Congress is that the people get to vote on that every 2 years. That is the entire point of having elections every 2 years. And so if one Congress, a high watermark Congress, can tie the future funding in a way that a subsequent Congress cannot undo it, because in order to undo it, the subsequent Congress is going to have to have veto-proof majorities from both houses of the legislature or the agreement of the president. And why would any president ever agree to take away his power and control over $750 million a year, which is what the CFPB is, you know, is raking in at this point from the Federal Reserve. And by the way, an obscenely high amount of money,
12%.
If I can say so, obscenely high amount. Now, I will say Congress picked that number, but again, the high watermark Congress picked that number. That is more money to regulate this one sector of the economy, John, than the entire budget of the Consumer Financial or of the Consumer Product Safety Commission to regulate the safety of every product in the American market. So it's really an obscenely high amount of money.
I do want to point out that I was right, because if you remember, I said that this case endangered the Federal Reserve and that the court would never, ever, ever do anything to weaken the Federal Reserve. They're afraid of it. And
yeah,
I think that's why we have the Barretts and the Robertses and the Kavanaughs, for sure, even if the original's position wasn't, in my view, so strong.
Maybe. They don't say anything, at least in my initial scan of the decision, I don't see anything that says that, other than they say that—
No, they don't say it. I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, what they do say is that the government, well, not the government, the challengers here, the Community Financial Services Association of America, represented by former Solicitor General Noel Francisco, had raised the specter of, look, if Congress can get away with doing it here, then they're just going to do this for every favored agency.
Yeah.
And the majority didn't have much truck with that, because they said, well, then they can. That's fine. Go ahead.
They do it. They did it for the post office. They did it for, you know, whatever.
But I'm telling you, John, that runs an absolute Mack truck through Article 1 of the Constitution and putting the power of you just took the power of the purse away from Congress. That's what just happened in this opinion. And that was the most important thing that the founders did during the Constitutional Convention, was put the power of the purse in Article 1. And our Supreme Court, John, just removed it. And I think this is the worst opinion that I have seen in decades.
I think that Congress did that, and
the court just allowed it.
I know, and the court should allow Congress to declare what it wants on money matters and appropriations.
That's the old Oliver Wendell Holmes. If Congress wants to go to hell in a handbasket, then the court's job is to let him. And I don't think that's right. The Constitution is more powerful than the ability. Congress doesn't have the right to divest its appropriations power, and that's what it did here. It divested its appropriations power.
It divested its yearly appropriation power.
No, it can't. How does it take it back? If Congress wants to stop the CFPB from spending money, how does it do it?
Well,
it has to pass a law,
yep,
which has to get through both houses of Congress and signed by the president,
right,
and the president's not going to sign it. So,
well, tough luck. I mean, that's a political decision of the
political
branches.
But it's not
branches.
Tough luck. No, but it doesn't just screw over Congress, John. It screws over the American people, because no matter who I send to Congress, they can never get that power back from the CFPB.
Yeah, they can if they—
How?
By getting a supermajority, by doing what the Democrats did in 2008. That's politics.
But it's not. That's not. That's circumventing the appropriations clause and circumventing the Constitution, I would argue. There was a there, and I want to give you time to defend the the majority opinion here by Justice Thomas more if there were other things.
My main thing was I did think that they had analogous funding in the first Congress of appropriations in the same manner where there's designated funds that always go there. I agree as a policy matter, it's bad, but I don't know that the Supreme – it's so bad – it's so clear that it's bad that the Supreme Court should intervene on Congress's choice.
Well, I just think this is an example of what I call bad textualism and bad originalism, where you're taking a dictionary definition or you're picking one little thing from the history.
You think this is a Bostock?
I think it is a Bostock. I do. The fundamental thing at issue here is the separation of powers. And, Kate Stith was the one whose 1988 Yale Law Journal article has been on Congress's power of the purse has been widely quoted. In this case, I think they lost the forest for the trees, if I can put it that way. You can't just look at the dictionary definition of appropriations. This is a term, and this is what Alito said: is that look, this is a term that has accreted meaning over time. When you take that term out of the English Constitution and you put it in the American Constitution, then the soil comes with it, and you have to take all of that. That sort of learning and understanding and history, and he goes through a lot of that history.
I like that phrase, by the way.
Bringing the soil with it, yeah. He goes through a lot of that history, I think, in a much more convincing way than the majority opinion does. And I just think that this Supreme Court is going to rue the day that it said that the executive branch can self-fund because you've just cut Congress out of the equation, and that is a disaster for freedoms, and it's a disaster for constitutional liberty.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that's the only time we say that about the decisions this term.
It's not a good beginning. It's not a good beginning at all. CFPB is far too powerful and aggressive an agency to permit it to prowl on American citizens unconstrained by an appropriations lease from Congress.